Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
It is wonderful to be here. So proud of Philip and Shofar Pretoria, although the pastors in the Shofar movement, we have such respect for him, for his wife, and for you guys and the amazing work of God that's happening here. Philip is a kingdom-minded man, and I just felt that God is, he's blessed, so blessed with you. He's like, proud of you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now Philip is that man, and he also has a beautiful brain, creative brain. About a whole bunch of things. You know, he thinks out of the box, and it's just so inspiring. So it's great to be here. Just to continue on with the story that Philip was sharing, on that I was a student still, and we were organizing the first year's camp, and we were doing adventure things the whole day, and we were tired. The whole team, everybody was tired. I think we were around 12 o'clock, we got into bed, and as I was just about to put my head on the pillow, the Holy Spirit said, "Now pray." So I woke everybody up while the first years were sleeping, and we started to pray from 12 o'clock till around 4 o'clock, just praying, just interceding for these young people. And it was the Friday night, and that Saturday evening, we made an altar call. Someone testified, and we made an altar call, and it was just the presence of God. We were just like, whew, like arresting these young people. So many of those young people are still following Jesus and in leadership positions. But maybe if it was just for Philip, it was worth it. Eh? Praise God. But so a bit of my story. I've always had a heart for people to come to Christ. Always. But I was known, so by all my friends, I was known as the praying one. Andre's the intercessor. I always just had this passion for God and His presence and praying. So I would live, that's a lifestyle. I would be a prayer, but I always had this heart for the lost, like Jesus, save them, Lord. And already crying, goodness. But I never felt that I was an evangelist. I never felt that I had an anointing to see the lost come to Christ. I was the prayer, and it's just amazing how the Lord has been using. Changing my perspective over the last 5 years, we have experienced a massive transformation on the inside. And a few weeks ago, the Lord said to me, if you want to move the mountain in front of you, you first need to move the mountain on the inside of you. And so over the last 5 years, God has been moving mountains on the inside of us. And I was forced through this stuff, the 3 years that my wife couldn't really sleep, it was just a nightmare. It was like, I literally prayed for her hundreds of times, twice a night, and I was just like, Jesus, where are you? Have you ever experienced that? Jesus, where are you? I have come to know that every crisis, every challenge we face is simply an invitation to press in deeper into God. It's simply an invitation to increase your capacity for more of God. We've come to know that every trial, every crisis is simply a blessing from heaven, even if the devil sent it. It will backfire. Someone said if the devil would ever write a book, an autobiography, he would call it "A Backfired Again." Because the worst things that the enemy sends against us are the things that catapults us into more of God. If we don't get offended and bitter and unbelieving. Amen. So when you get this, this for me is part of the apostolic flow. The apostolic flow for me is two legs. The one leg is the more adversity, the more the kingdom comes. Look at Paul's life, the apostle Paul's life. And the other leg is signs and wonders and miracles, because the kingdom of God is coming. That's what the apostle Paul said. This is why I am an apostle. I've been beaten. I have so many stripes of all these things. But cities were turned upside down. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome that the more the pressure piles on, the more the kingdom comes? I'm experiencing that in my life. I'm experiencing that. We are seeing it. You must just change your perspective. So I want to show you this. I want to share with you about miracles of salvation tonight. I want to share with you about the evangelistic flow, the supernatural anointing of God that causes hearts to turn to Jesus. I want to share with you a few stories. In my book, I share more of the teaching side. So I want to share with you more about the stories of salvation. But I want to show you a diagram, which is in my book. It's my blueprint for ministry. The Bible says in Revelation 22, there's a river that flows from the throne of God. Wherever this river flows, it brings life. So there's an anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is flowing from heaven, a river of life. But I believe that river is split into five rivers. In John 7:38, Jesus speaking, he says, "He who tries really hard, for him this will work. For the elite, for the special, for the set apart, who has five generations of pastors and preachers in their lineage, for them this will work." No. What does Jesus say? He who believes, he who moves the mountain on the inside, the mountain of unbelief, the mountain of self-doubt, the mountain, those lies that says to us, "You're not good enough, you can't see souls come to Christ," that's for other people. And Jesus says, "He who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers," say rivers, "rivers of living waters." So Jesus says, he who believes in Christ will not just have one river flowing from within him. He would have five rivers of life flowing from within him. And wherever those rivers flow, it will bring life. So back to the diagram. So the apostolic flow is kingdom reign, sick being healed. The prophetic flow is presence host. It's just that focus on the presence of God. Everything flows from his presence. Everything flows from his presence. Pastoral flow, I spoke about this morning. Relationships flourish. An anointing to see people and relationships flourish. Teaching flow to see the word become flesh, not just academic info about God, but that word becoming our living reality. And then evangelistic flow, souls win. A supernatural anointing to see the lost saved. You see all five rivers flowing in the book of Acts, in that original revival, which is our template. The original revival, we see all five signs and wonders, the presence of God, worship and pray day and night. Supernatural unity in the community, that they would surrender all their goods, all their possessions for the sake of others. That was supernatural. No one told them to do it. They received the apostles' doctrine, the word, flesh, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Say daily. Wouldn't that be awesome if we would see Jesus add to his church daily those who would be saved? In the worship this evening, I saw a vision of a river, one massive river flowing from here on stage, flowing down here. And I felt evangelistic flow, a river of life. There's many people going to come to Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to shift a few mountains on the inside of you, in your head tonight, about can you lead someone to Christ? How does that work? How does the evangelistic flow work? Okay, just quickly stand with me. I want to pray for us. Then I'm going to share a few stories. And just open your hands like this. Just an attitude of receiving the presence. God, we welcome you here. Thank you that you are here. Lord, we thank you for an awakening in every heart, in every mind. Lord, may the word of God burn in our bones like fire. We can't keep it in. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us, empower us, and shift every mountain, every lying thing within us. In Jesus' name, right now we speak to every mountain of unbelief, and we say, "Be gone. out of our lives. Father, may we see who we are in you tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just say, I receive grace to see as God sees. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You may take your seats. So around 4 years ago, we went to India, 2013. We went to India, and I was at a meeting, and I said before, I never saw myself as an evangelist. I never saw myself as evangelistic. You see, the evangelist stands deeper in the river of the evangelistic anointing, and is calling the rest of the body of Christ deeper. In other words, every one of us can be highly evangelistic, supernaturally empowered by God, although you might not be an evangelist. Do you think it's possible? We're seeing this over and over again, people who get into the river of the Spirit. Unbelievable things start happening through them. What has changed? Well, mountain moved and they got into the river. So it's time to get into the river. Amen. Okay, so I want to play it out for you, the five rivers and how they work together to see someone come to Christ. Now imagine this for a moment. You have an atheistic friend who is dying of cancer. The apostolic flow is at work. So you ask, can I pray for you? And this guy says, well, yeah, I'm desperate. Whatever. Do your little thing. And you pray for him, and the cancer disappears from their body. Do you think that man is closer to coming to Christ? I would say so. Amen. So we were in Brazil, and there's a guy where amazing miracles were happening. So there was one of the pastors there. He went to his hairdresser, and he told the hairdresser of all the miracles that God is doing. And this hairdresser guy said, well, there's this other guy. He's a police officer. His name is Marcelo. He has pancreatic cancer. He's dying of it. And I'm going to bring him that you can pray for him. So they brought Marcelo, a man who doesn't believe in God, a man who's had a really, really tough life. He's got pancreatic cancer. All his skin is yellow. He went to the doctors. They've done the test. There's cancer. And he's dying. So we pray for him. And we release healing in Jesus' name. And then as we're praying for him, we feel the word of God come to us. The prophetic word comes to us. It says, you will testify. You will not die. You will live. You will testify of what God has done for you. I'm like thinking, I hope he doesn't die. So he feels so much stronger. He feels better. Walks up and down and says, I really feel better. I really feel better. And we say, praise God. We lead him to Jesus. He surrenders his life to Christ. About a month later, we get feedback. He went to the doctors, had five biopsies, couldn't find a trace of cancer. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. So that guy committed his life to Jesus, and he's so much closer. Oh, he started to testify of what God has done for him. Apostolic flow. The kingdom of God has just reigned. You know, when the kingdom of God comes, everything that's contrary to the kingdom must go. Prophetic flow. Now imagine that atheistic friend, let's say he's not turning to Jesus yet. He's really, really stubborn. Cancer's disappeared. Now prophetic flow. Now the Lord gives you words, prophetic words that unlocks this man's destiny. Somehow you know why he was born, what he was made for, and you release those words over him. He's like blown away, like, how do you know this? God loves you. So prophetic word that just touches him, the presence of God all over him. Do you think he's closer to coming to Christ? Yes. Now pastoral flow, just the tangible love of Jesus flowing through you. This man is not just another scalp that you're after. He's not just another project. You sincerely, passionately love this man. And he senses, he feels it, and he's bawling because the love of God is just touching his heart. Do you think he's closer to coming to Christ? Yes. Teaching flow. You've been working with this man for 10 years. The teaching flow is about the word becoming flesh. You're not a hypocrite. You have integrity, godliness, sincerity. Manifesting, the word is manifesting in your life, and you have favor with the people at work. That atheist would never have allowed you to pray for him if you were a hypocrite. Do you agree? There are a few things that offends believers and unbelievers alike as hypocrisy. Now, when teaching flow is the word of God becomes a living reality, I'm not just preaching it, I'm living it. And then evangelistic flow, what must happen now? Almost nothing. The man must just have a deep conviction. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. The heart of the apostolic, the evangelistic flow is conviction, supernatural conviction. Supernatural conviction. Okay, so that's how the five work together. And I believe that if you have all five flowing together, you'll have sustainable revival. So our mission is to see how deep can we go into each one of them. How many people can be healed and delivered and set free by the power of God? How tangible can God's presence be in our worship times? How many relationships can flourish? And so more. Okay, so I want to give you a bit of a vision, a perspective on that. Okay, so I want to share three things with you. Three truths that I believe are key to help you and me transition into the evangelistic flow. Because I said, we went to India 4 years ago. And just before we went, like on one day, I was in a meeting and suddenly the voice of God spoke to me. And the voice of God said to me, "You are a healing evangelist." I'm like, "Are you kidding?" Because we've seen like two people healed, four people healed in 2012. Since then, almost 1,200 people. But I said, "Okay, God, if you're saying it, let's do it." The word of the Lord just unlocks your identity. So now, we started going to India. We saw people healed and people come to Christ and amazing things were happening. Then we went to Argentina, twice in India, then Argentina, then Brazil twice. Just amazing things that were starting to happen. And before we went to Brazil, so we went to Argentina, and we had a few awesome things happening. But then we went to Convergence. Yeah? Who's been at Convergence Conference in Cape Town? Okay, awesome. So in 2015, I was on stage just facilitating one of the sessions. I wasn't preaching. I wasn't ministering. There's about 1,500 people there. And I'm standing on the side. I think the guys were doing something. And so I felt the voice of God say to me, "Look at the crowd. Just look." I felt Daddy God speaking to me, saying, "Just look." And then he whispered in my ear, "This is a small crowd compared to where I'm taking you." I'm like, "That sounds good. Thank you, Jesus." That was October 2015. We went to Brazil in December 2015, and then we went to a church of 6,000 people. We ministered for a week of doing revival conferences. 400 people physically healed. 150 people came to Christ. And at the end of the one meeting, the apostle Ariu that asked us to come, he said to me, "I think it's time to go to the church of 60,000. I'm like, "Yes, we do it." The heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is to reveal to us who we are, because you have no idea who you are. You have no idea what you are called to. You have no idea the potential wrapped up inside of you, because Jesus lives on the inside of you. Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ rests upon us. So wherever we're going, it is Jesus going somewhere. When we lay hands on people, it is Jesus laying hands on people. But somehow these lies come to us that says, "No, you're nobody. Look at your past. No, you can't. I mean, you haven't ever done anything like this. So how can you?" 10 years of ministry, I saw two people healed. Over 3 years, 1,200. My past didn't show me or give me any faith for the future. But I was passionate about seeking Jesus. Thank God, I'm available. And then the prophetic words came. "This is for you. This is for you. This is for you." The prophetic word unlocks our destiny. And he wants to unlock your destiny. You have no idea how God wants to use you, how powerfully he wants to use you. Amen. Say it, this is for me. Because Jesus lives in me. You're saying it as if you do not believe. Hallelujah. But we're going to shift that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this Marcelo guy, he was healed. He went to the doctors. They did 5 biopsies. They couldn't find a trace of cancer. And they said the doctors couldn't believe it. I like that. I like it when doctors can't believe it. Because Jesus is moving. Amen. The key is to go deeper into these rivers, these anointings, so that Jesus can manifest his fullness. So I want to read this verse, the first one I want to share with you, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4 to 5. 3 things about the evangelistic anointing, unlocking, getting into that river. It says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Say, I'm chosen. You're chosen. There are no ordinary believers. Every believer is called to be supernatural. You're not called to just warm the pews. Amen. Come on, say it. I'm called to be supernatural. Amen. Now look at this. It says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words. Not simply with words, but with power. I believe that's signs and wonders. With the Holy Spirit, the presence of God was just all over you. It's like you sense God is here. And with deep conviction. Deep conviction is like a cutting to the heart. Like, I heard this guy, his name is Andreas Bassoni, guy that really focuses on the Holy Spirit and the power of God. He shares the story. He was in a meeting. End of the meeting, a mom brought her rebellious, stubborn son to him. He's like really off on his own track. He doesn't want to be there. He's like, I don't want to be here. And so this guy is speaking to him now and sharing the gospel with him. And he can feel there's nothing going through. Nothing happening. Nothing. And at some point, this guy says, Andreas says, he experiences, suddenly he senses the presence of God, the Holy Spirit above him. And he senses suddenly like, the Holy Spirit moving upon this young man. He says, next moment, this young man falls to the floor screaming. He grabs his own heart and starts screaming, I must change. Come on. Isn't that amazing? I must change. Deep conviction. The power of the Holy Spirit has just impacted him. Glory to God. What if the only obstacle between someone coming to Christ is simply the measure of the anointing on our lives? What if there is not one person on the face of the earth that can't come to Christ right now? If only we have an anointing equal to the measure of bondage in their lives. Think about it. What if the anointing on our lives would be so high that it's equal to the bondage in their lives? Then no one can't come to Christ. Everybody's ready. I'll share that verse with you now where Jesus says, look up, look at the fields, they're ripe. They're ready to be harvested. You say 4 months, 3, 4 months. I say to you, they're ready. Think about it as the man of the Gadarenes, demonized man. He had like 2,000 demons in him. No chains could hold him. Jesus gets out of the boat. He steps onto dry land. What happens? This man with 2,000 demons runs to him, fall on his knees before Christ and says, stop tormenting us. The anointing on Jesus' life was so strong that even 2,000 demons couldn't keep a man from coming to Christ. Yo, that psychs me up. But so often we have more faith in the devil than we have faith in the power of Jesus Christ, the victory of the cross for us. Jesus said, it is finished. It is done. And this verse says, and with deep conviction, supernatural conviction that impacts the heart, like, I need to give my life to Jesus. The next verse there, Acts 2:37, the day of Pentecost, outpouring of the Spirit. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. 3,000 men came to Christ that day. Was it Peter that was cute? And he was just shocking a month ago. He denied Christ like 40 days ago, 50 days ago. No, it was just the supernatural presence of God. The evangelistic flow began to flow. And he preached and they were convicted. We had one of our ladies in church, they downloaded some of my sermons. And they put it on a flash drive or a CD or something. I think it was a CD. And they gave it to a family member, I think the wife of this one guy. So she put it in the car. Her husband, who's a backslidden man, drove in the car and he saw the CD and he thought, well, it's probably music. He put it in. And there I am preaching. The story goes, halfway into the message, he's on his way to work. He breaks down bawling. Can't drive further. Parks the car. That Sunday he goes to church. Deep conviction. I was thinking, I need to get that sermon. Which sermon was it? It's a great sermon. I need to package it and get it out somewhere. Deep conviction. Deep conviction. The Bible shows us perfect circumstances is not the key to see someone come to Christ, only the very presence and anointing of God. Amen. Deep conviction, that's the first key. But you see, if we want to release deep conviction to others, we need to have deep conviction ourselves. So imagine this, you're in an island in the Pacific Ocean, and you hear on the radio there's a tsunami coming. Everybody in the island will die unless they move to higher ground. So you storm out onto the beach saying, hey guys, there's a tsunami coming. There's a tsunami coming. Go higher ground, higher ground. And they flat ignore you. It's like they don't hear you. They keep on playing in the sand and laugh at you saying, bugger off. That would be preaching without the anointing. That would be preaching without the evangelistic anointing. Just words, no power. Just words, but no impact. But if the evangelistic anointing is upon our lives, they will hear and they will run to higher ground. So you and I need a deep conviction. We need to know with all our hearts, it doesn't matter how good someone is. Without Jesus, they are lost. Without Jesus, the tsunami of the wrath of God will come upon them on the day of judgment. This day is the day of salvation, but there is a day coming, which is the day of judgment. If you're found in your sins, you're lost. Are you persuaded? Are you sure? Because if you're not sure, you won't have deep conviction. And we must have deep conviction. Our hearts must break for the lost. Our hearts must break for the lost. The next verse speaks about this, the wrath of God. Just later in that chapter, it says, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. There's a tsunami coming. If we don't go to higher ground, which is Jesus Christ, we are lost. We are lost. Around 20 years ago, I committed my life to Jesus. I've been going to church since I was small, but I didn't have a living relationship. Religion doesn't save us. Only Jesus saves. Amen. Only Jesus saves. So the first key to reposition yourself is get deep conviction. If you don't have it yet, say, Jesus, give me deep conviction. I need it. My heart needs to break for the lost so that I can go deeper into the evangelistic flow, that when I speak, it's not just words, they are deep conviction. Amen. Okay, that's the first one, deep conviction. Second one. The second one speaks about cutting to the root. Galatians 1, 3 to 5. So I want to share a story with you. End of last year, I was a businessman phoned me. He said to me, he's got an employee that's giving him major problems. They're about to fire him. There's a lot of issues. And he wanted me to come and see this guy. And as we were sitting on the board, I'm in a business boardroom table with a director over there, and then this guy in front of me. Came out that this guy is a Sangoma. Christian, but a Sangoma. And then he starts sharing with me how he was chosen to be the Sangoma, and then the process he went through to become a Sangoma. So he would be, his initiation, he would be on this float on the river. And he said this evil, he would say he has never been afraid as that in his life, as this evil approached him, came to him. He says, and since that day, he hears voices. And these voices make him, especially he gets them to drink. And when he gets drunk, then these voices go. And these voices tell him to do horrific, horrible things that is destroying his life, destroying every facet of his life. And I asked him, do you want to be free? I mean, let's think about it. Are these voices helping you? No, they're messing up my life. And so I had the privilege of leading this man to Christ. He renounced this evil out of his life right there in the boardroom, at the boardroom table, just prayed for him. He felt the fire of God burning through his body, and things left him. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus saves. Amen. So if you are hearing voices that's messing up your life, it's not the voice of God. It's another voice. It doesn't come from heaven. So part of this key to get into the evangelistic flow is that, as Galatians 1 verse 3 to 5 speaks of this, it says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. That's profound. Why did Jesus give himself for us? For our sins. For our sins. That he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, sin, God knows the world. He knows how it works. Evil in this world is like this massive tree. Massive branches moving into every community of our country, of the world. Evil. Rape and murder and theft and hatred and racism and all these. It's bearing all this bad fruit in our communities. That's what evil is doing. So how do we deal with this tree of evil? Should we cut the fruit off? What would happen? It will just grow back. Do you know that most NGO programs, even church programs, focuses on the fruit and not on the root? So it's not bad in itself. It's just not going to solve the problem. Because the root problem is sin. Sin gives access to evil into this world. Sin gives access to evil into our lives. Sin gives the devil legal access to torment us. But Jesus came to liberate. Jesus came to set free. Jesus came and he cut to the root of this tree of evil. He didn't go for the fruit. He wasn't worried about all of that. He says, I'm going to die for the sin of the world. So I'm taking this axe and I'm cutting to the root. I'm cutting to the root, because he knew if he cuts to the root, this tree will wither up and die. You know, so when we have sin in our lives, when we disobey God, when we do our own thing, it's like you are putting a sign above your house saying, evil, come and torment here. You see, God doesn't want to spoil our fun. He's not like, oh, he's like a prude in heaven, want to spoil our fun. He's a loving father. He's a loving father. This is my son. Don't do it. Don't allow those things into your life. Don't go do my daughter. Don't go down that path, because you're going to open your life to evil. Evil's going to flood in, and you're going to probably find yourself in a place with no peace, with no joy, probably in a place of depression and fear and anxiety as the enemy comes in. So I was sitting with a guy about a week ago. On the Sunday night, he was a real mess. He went to his new, he went, visited the church. Went to some members of our church, and he's an absolute mess. So they phoned me or WhatsApped me the Sunday night saying, can this guy come and see you? 3 years of psychiatrists, psychologists, pills, you name it. But he's living a life of sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage. He was doing alcohol. His finances were a mess. He was trying everything to find peace, and he couldn't find it. Sunday night, he's a mess. Depressed, suicidal. Monday afternoon, he comes to see me. I share the message of Jesus with him. Again, he has before heard it. I showed him, these things are killing you. Repent. So he repented and said, Father, forgive me for the sin I have committed. Forgive me for all these things. He then stood and I prayed for him. I released the presence and the power of God over his life. And he was completely set free. That same night, he went to that same family. They WhatsApp me say, a different man entered this house tonight. What did you do? Well, Jesus, this is what Jesus does. Amen. So the pills and the things don't solve the problem. No condemnation if you are using pills for antidepressants or whatever. You know, for seasons, you sometimes need to do it so you can get to a place of freedom. But that's not the long-term solution. You're just dealing with the fruit. You're not dealing with the root. Amen. Jesus came to cut to the root. So if we want the fullness of the evangelistic anointing to flow in our lives, we need to get to the root. Come on. Give your life to Jesus. You know you've been rebellious. You know you've been doing your own thing. Every man, every woman in this room, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all. So you're not alone. There's another one that needs Jesus. Amen. So he loves us so much. He wants to set us free. Sin gives Satan power to enslave. Yet Jesus' blood sets us free. Amen. Let's say it. Jesus' blood sets us free. Yes. Yes, it's powerful. It's good news. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he cut to the root. Evil is fading away. Do you know it? Look at this verse, 1 John. And the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Oh, that's good news. Let's look to Jesus, not be overwhelmed with darkness and evil. Just look to Jesus. Jesus can turn this. Look at the revivals of the past. Go read up. It's phenomenal. Nations and cities transform. In such a way that they would close down, shut down the police stations and the prisons because there was no crime. Hallelujah. South Africa is ready. Jesus. Amen. But we are so used to the darkness that we have no faith to see God turn our nation around. Why not again? I believe it's going to get better before it. There's a massive end time revival coming. A harvest of souls like the world has never seen. In Jesus' name. The earth will be filled with the glory of God. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Amen. And sometimes we become so doom and gloom. Oh, the Antichrist. Who is it now? Was it Barack Obama? No, it's definitely Trump now. We just, oh, you know, so obsessed with all these things. I heard a guy said, he believes it's going to get better. He believes this massive revival, massive end-time harvest is going to come. And if he is wrong, he will be the happiest Christian ever eaten by the beast. If you know, there's a beast in Revelation. Anyway, okay. You didn't get it. You probably don't do Revelation that much here. Wonderful, wonderful. Focus on Jesus. The revelation of Christ. The darkness is passing away. Let's say it. The darkness is passing away. Imagine a revival here at Tookie's. Why not? Thousands of students running to Christ because they found politics doesn't give the solution and worldliness don't give the solution and alcohol doesn't help and sex doesn't help and all these things don't help. It doesn't give peace. It doesn't give joy. What if God sovereignly moves across this campus and everybody like, I need Jesus. Eh? Why not? Why not? Let's say it's coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. So then, the first one, deep conviction. Second one, cut to the root. Third one, we need faith. We need real faith if we want to see the kingdom of God come. Look at this, John chapter 4, 35. Do you not say, this is Jesus speaking. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Yeah, Jesus, we do say that because that's how it works. We show when we wait 4 months. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes to heaven. See as heaven sees. And look then again at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. They're already white. They're ready. They're ready. If the anointing on our lives equals the bondage in their lives, they will come to Christ. Amen. Man, that's a good word. You need to write that down. That blesses me because the invitation for you and me is seek Him, seek Jesus, pray, pursue Him, build up your faith with the Word of God, and you will see the kingdom of God come through your life. Amen. So there's a lady called Yvette Lowe at our church. She's been an alcoholic for years. 2 little kids messing up her life. It's just chaos. So she's coming to church. There's like 4 or 5 other women around her praying for her, helping her, but it's so tiring and it's not working. And then she just faded away. She left church. And now recently I'm seeing her again and I'm like, Yvette, what happened? Because I've given up. Listen to the story. She's an alcoholic for years. She was in the shower. She slips in the shower. She falls out of the shower. The basin is there. She realizes if she hits her head, she's dead. So she turns around and she hits the basin at the back of her head. She says, the moment that happens, she falls into the arms of Jesus in a vision. She falls into the arms of Jesus and He starts to speak to her. And He says to her at some stage, Yvette, ye is low varm. Your synonym is low. You are lukewarm. Ye is low varm. You are lukewarm. And He says to her, Yvette, you must turn to Me and you must trust in Me. Stop trying to sort these things out in your own ability. Trust in Me. And He said a few other things to her, speaking to her. And He said to her, you are lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out. And she says, but Jesus, I'm trying. I am trying. And He said, stop trying. Trust in Me. Isn't that amazing? She wakes up with paramedics around her. 3 months later, she hasn't touched a drop of alcohol. Left the smoking, left the alcohol. She is free. She's got a new heart, a new mind. She had a Jesus encounter. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Jesus saves. But some of us here might be lukewarm. Compromising in our lifestyle, living in a way that denies our faith in Jesus. I want to ask you tonight to commit your life to Jesus, to recommit your life to Jesus. To say, Lord, I need You. There's so many amazing things. They're saying there are so many Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists coming to Christ through supernatural encounters. But Jesus would appear to them in the temple and say, follow Me. They'd get up and follow. Amen. Revival, harvest. It's already white for harvest. We must just trust the Lord for more. We must look up and see with His eyes. There are multitudes of people around you that are right now ready to come to Christ. Right now. Right now. I want to share one last story and then we're going to pray. This for me is a very special story. Sharing miracles of salvation. We started a church in town in East London. In the evening services in the middle of the city. And we were trusting God to go cross-cultural, to trust to reach people of all skin colors. And it was really hard. Really, really hard. I'm crying out of Jesus, Jesus, please. I'm going to be alone here. I'm going to be alone in this service. Just me. Two other white people. The one night, there was a guy there. His name is Aviwe. He was in Selborne College. He's an atheist. His girlfriend dragged him to church. So now I'm seeing a black person. I just want to say, all the black people in the house, I love you. Love you. I love black people. I don't know why, but I love black people. I pray like a black man. Promise you, I've got black blood. I know it's red, but I've got black blood. So this guy, I see a black man. So I'm like, oh, Jesus, black man. Hello. I asked him, did you fill in the visitor card? He said, no. I said, can I have your number? He said, okay. Gave me his number. I phone him. We go to the Mug and Bean, best place to lead someone to Jesus. So we're in the Mug and Bean, and for what, 2 hours, I am just sharing the gospel from every possible angle. But he doesn't want to bite. So, okay. But that Sunday, he comes to church, and then I do a brilliant altar call. I said, real men turn to Jesus. Played with the ego. So he came forward, committed his life to Jesus. I was so thankful. Hallelujah. So now I'm going to Humdansane, the township area, going to his house there, go visit him. And I'm sitting with him, and we're chatting. And as I arrived in the house, and he said to me, I prayed your little prayer, but the lights haven't come on yet. So I said, that's okay. So I shared with him a few things, and I shared with him about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. About another 2 hours of sharing, sharing, sharing. And I realized, oh, I'm late. Wife's waiting for me. I need to go. I'm sorry, Aviwe, I need to go. I'm quickly going to pray for you. So I lay hands on him. He stands like this. Now I'm praying for him. Father, touch him. Now from his side, now he's saying to me later, his eyes were closed, and suddenly he sees a light. So he's thinking, is Pastor Andre like shining a torch in my eyes? I wasn't. So he's seeing a light, and it's weird, and he's feeling a little bit uncomfortable. But anyway, so I'm praying, Lord, touch him. Holy Spirit, come. Touch him. And he says, next moment, a glorious bright light comes into him. He's, from my perspective, he goes like this. Ah! Ah! And he goes down and into his chair, and he's like shaking. And he says, it's real. It's real. It's real. The lights just came on. And he's serving Jesus with all his heart now, like a year and a half later still. Praise God. The lights just came on. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know about you, but I serve a powerful God for whom all things are possible. I want to encourage you, if you're praying for your friends and your loved ones, Jesus is ready. Ready to save them. Ready to move, but let's move the unbelief out of our hearts. Get the fire within us so we can release the light into them. Amen. There's an evangelistic, mighty evangelistic river flowing. Just get into it. You're going to see the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Please stand with me. I want to pray for us. Let's say it, the harvest is ready right now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your kindness. Jesus, we celebrate your amazing love. Lord God, just miracles of salvation. Story upon story of you transforming a life. Thank you, Jesus, that tonight you are giving an invitation here for every one of us to also let the lights come on. In Jesus' name.
You've got this joy.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us, pretoria@shofaronline.org. Browse our website, www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.